call your attention. First Peter, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When Peter was reminded, and as he thought about the experience that he had, he remembered a time when the hope or the expectation of the disciples was on the bottom.
Amen.
He's not talking about regeneration here. But he's talking about a time when the disciples were discouraged. He's talking about a time when they had lost, seemingly, their vision of what Christ had taught them. Brother Raven Lord taught me this when I was a young man, that there was a time when the disciples, as built up as they were, seemed to lose sight of the promise of God. And it was according to his resurrection that they were lifted up. This word begotten here simply means a raising up. Raised us up again unto a lively hope.
Yes.
Lively hope. Now, we had hope all the time, but now, through the resurrection of Christ, as our brother has so aptly said, now the oath-bound promise that Jesus Christ fulfilled now has elevated us.
Yeah.
To where we needed to be, and it's called begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? Here's the means. By the resurrection of Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus began to talk to his conspirators that were all around him in the last days of his personal ministry, and they came to teach a Bible lesson at times, and they used Old Testament scriptures to prove it. But you know, all heresy has an element of truth about it.
Right.
If it was outright heresy, it'd be rejected.
Right.
But all heresy has an element of truth. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? What'd they say? Is he the son of God? No. They say he's the son of David. And he was to some degree from that line. From that lineage he came. Jesus said, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down my right hand till I make mine enemies mine footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And you know what he did? He confounded them in their speech.
Yeah.
They never were trying to find out the truth about anything. They wanted to find a tear in the material.
Right.
They wanted to bring a conflict in his teaching. And after he said that, you know what the Bible says? And no man was able to answer him a word. No man was able to answer him a word. And from that day forth, no man ever asked him any more questions. From that day forth until the time he's crucified. Now I ask you this question today. What think you of Christ? What think you of Christ? Our brothers talked about the resurrection. Do you know the resurrection's the doctrine that all doctrine's based on? If there be no resurrection of the dead, our preaching is vain. Our faith is vain. Them that are fallen asleep in Christ Jesus have perished. And not only that, Paul said, I'm a false witness because I testified under oath that he was who he said he was.
Yeah.
I want to tell you right now today, Paul wasn't guilty of perjury. he was guilty of telling the truth, all right. But I want to tell you right now, when Jesus began to ask them this question, he said, whom do men say that I, or what think ye of Christ, whose son is he? I affirm to you today, my friends, that our blessed Lord was who he said he was. Our blessed Lord proved that he was who he said he was. You know what proof we have today that he was who he said he was? The resurrection from the dead. He could have sighted the blind. He could have done all the miracles that he did. But had he not been raised from the dead, he could not have been qualified to be the sacrifice for sin. He could not have been qualified. I'll tell you right now, you and I can make some sacrifices. Oh, we think sometime we made some sacrifices. But I want to tell you right now, what little sacrifice we made pales to the background compared to the love that Jesus Christ had for you. When he went to the cross, do you know what? He went there and they said, well, if he's really who he says he is, let him come down. You know why he couldn't come down? He was bound by covenant promise. He was bound to the cross by a covenant promise, and because he was bound by a covenant promise, the rocks rent, the earth quaked, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom. Now I'll tell you now, that which was a barrier, that veil was a barrier, what did it become? Now there's a gateway there. We can approach unto God, yes sir, by new and a living way, not by a priest made after the order of Aaron, by our high priest made after the order of Melchizedek. Never will there have to be another order established. Why? Because his priesthood remains today. Now I'll tell you, not only that, but you're a priest. Do you know that?
Yeah.
You're a priest. You're not only a priest, you're a king.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reason we can meet today and pray together. We believe in the priesthood of the believer, don't we? That we can pray. You can take prayer out of school, but you can't take it out of the heart. Bless God.
Amen.
That's right. What think ye of Christ? I believe he was who he said he was.
Amen.
I believe he was the Son of the living God. Angels are beautiful, but I want to tell you, Paul described it like this. Under which of the angels did he ever come and say, you sit here at my right hand? Never did say it to an angel, but I'll tell you what he did do. He said it to his son.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And that son today still is there. The mediator between us and a holy God who demands perfection. The Apostle Peter said it like this, and he comes on down through there. Notice what he says. When I begin to think about this while our brother was preaching, I want you to notice the terminology that he uses. He has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. And that faith is not away reserved in heaven for you. I'll tell you right now, brother, you got a reservation. It can't be canceled. Do you know that?
Right.
You know, me and my little boy, one time we were going out of North Carolina and I was going to preach. And so we got to Greenville, South Carolina. And we got over there and I was supposed to have a reservation. But there was some kind of mix up. And when I got to where I was going to stay, why, we didn't have a reservation. It was somehow or another got misplaced. Or I didn't get on the list. But I want to tell you right now that when I got there and it was late, I didn't have a place to go. And the little boy was upset, and I was worse upset than he was. But I want to tell you right now, you know what their answer was? There's a glitch in the computer. I want to tell you right now, there ain't no glitches in this promise. There ain't no glitches in this promise. It's an inheritance. Let me tell you this today. How did you ever get into anybody's inheritance? I want you to think about that. How did that ever happen? I'll tell you how somebody else put you in.
Right.
That's right. Now, you know, even families sometimes, they get into a squabble over property.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you don't think a will can be tore up, brother, I want to tell you right now, sharp lawyer, and do that. All right. But I want to tell you one thing, brother. And you remember this, any inheritance you get, somebody else is the cause of it. Somebody else is the cause of it. And this is an inheritance that is incorruptible. It is undefiled. It fadeth not away. And the reservation is in heaven for you who are kept.
Right.
Who are kept.
Yeah.
Who are kept.
Yeah.
Who are kept by the power of God.
That's right.
Who are kept. I like that. Who are kept by the power of God. What's the avenue that you're kept by? Kept by the power of God through faith.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, preacher, there's where the water's turned off. Kept through faith. If I'll just hold out faith. You know, the Arminian will tell you that man heard a lie, he obeyed a lie, and he believed a lie and he obeyed a lie. Now he's got to turn around and do three things. He's got to hear the truth, believe the truth, and obey the truth. And then if he holds out faithful to the end, everything's going to be all right. I got news for you, my friend. Oh, that's a failure to start with.
Right.
Failure's in the promise of what men say.
Yes.
But I want to tell you right. You know, you was talking about that a while ago. You know, we've been in court of law, me and him made a deal a little bit. Folks will put the left hand on the Bible and take an oath and so help me God. You know, it don't hurt me in the life. They'll swear a lie on the Bible.
Right.
Don't tell me that's not so.
Right.
They'll swear a lie on the Bible. But I want to tell you right now, when God Almighty, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Godhead in their unity came to this agreement, I want to tell you right now, the possibility of failure did not exist. The possibility of falsehood did not exist. God, who cannot lie,
yeah,
promised eternal life before the world began. God, who cannot lie, who are kept by the power of God. Through, here's the avenue now, through faith. Through faith. Let me tell you something right now, my friend. It's not your faith that keeps you.
No,
amen. No, sir. It's God's faith.
Amen.
God's faith in Christ. God's faith in Christ. In other words, God had faith in himself.
Amen.
You hear me? God had faith in himself. Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, never divorced himself from the oneness he had with the Father. Never divorced himself. And when he went back to heaven, he never divorced himself from the humanity that he had in earth. What does that mean? That Jesus, being the eternal Son of God, and we believe in that, the eternal Sonship of Christ, never divorced himself from the Father. And when he went back, a man went back to heaven.
Yes.
There's a man in heaven right now.
Right. Amen.
A man in heaven. And you know what? That man in heaven's there, you know, because he can be touched.
Amen.
With the feelings of your infirmity.
Right.
We have not an high priest. Let's call that double negative there. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know what that is? That means we have a high priest who can be touched.
Right.
We can be touched. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith, through God's faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice now for a season. You know, isn't it how good to have season to rejoice? Isn't it good to have season to rejoice? I haven't been to a meeting in so long today. I was ready to go on the running board this morning about 5:00. I really was. I hadn't been to a meeting so long. You know, I need to hear preaching. I need to hear singing. There was something about it that I was just contemplating the very presence of God. And you know, every time I've been to church, it hasn't been like that. There's sometimes the devil will get in the back seat with you, and sometimes he'll get in the front seat with you. You know, I've heard folks call, you know, sometimes families getting ready to go to church. I don't know how some of y'all do it, but sometimes, you know, they have such a feud and a fuss before you get to church. I don't know how you get anything out of it when you get there. You know, that's the truth. And you know, there are times, let me tell you, I'm telling you this experience from Ricky Harcourt's standpoint. When I was a young man, I was preaching at Pilgrim's Rest Church one day over at Rainford. And I bought me a new Jeep pickup. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. They were nice. I bought a new Jeep pickup. Four-wheel drive, blue and white. I wish I had it now. It would be a classic. I was glad to see it leave, but I wish I had it back. But you know what? Brother Fred Stewart was preaching. He's long been dead and gone now. And you know what? Now, I'm sitting up here behind. And I said, I'll be glad when he hushes. And when I get through, then I can drive my pickup. Now you think, Brother Ricky, you mean that's the truth? Before God knows it's the truth. Now I want to tell you right now, it's hard sometimes to keep beat these folks. It's hard sometimes. I need to get my things off, my mind off things that I ought to leave on the outside.
Amen.
And it's a struggle, my friend. Because I know it is. I mean, the day-to-day activities, it's a struggle. But I want to tell you right now, today has been a season of rejoicing. That's what he's talking about right here. You see? During the struggle, right in the middle of it, there's a season of rejoicing. How's that based? It's based on the faith of God in the resurrection of Christ. It's based on the resurrection of Christ, who lifted the disciples from a state of despair to a lively hope.
Yeah.
By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Somebody says, is your faith being tried? That's the worst thing that ever happened to you. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said it's better than gold that perishes. He said it's better. He said it's much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet we believe. I can't see him, but brother, I believe in him, don't you?
Yeah.
Though now ye see him not, yet believing. What is it? You're raised. He says, we rejoice with joy unspeakable.
Amen.
Undescribed.
Yeah.
With joy unspeakable. No wonder Isaiah could call it this. With joy I'll draw water from the wells of salvation.
Yes.
With joy I'll do it. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now I want you to listen to this last verse and I'll quit. Receiving the end of your faith. Now what did they receive? They received the end. You know what that word end right there doesn't mean? The culmination.
Right.
They received and were able to see the purpose of their faith. Luke 18 said, he spake a parable unto them unto this end. To this purpose. You
right.
See? Receiving the reason, receiving the purpose for your faith. What is that? The salvation of your soul. Oh, what a statement.
Amen.
That gave me trouble a long time. Receiving the end of your faith.
What they received in seeing the resurrection of Christ and being begotten again unto a land of hope was the reason God designed for their faith and the receiving, the end of your faith, the end result of all that is the salvation of your soul.
Amen.
I tell you right now, my friend, we do not believe in the sleep of the soul, do we?
Amen.
As the brother said, we believe that immediately, that the moment your eyes close in death, the eyes of your living soul behold the Lord in peace.
Amen. Yes.
It doesn't go to a halfway house. It doesn't go to purgatory.
Amen.
But immediately it takes its flight to the very presence of God.
Amen.
That's the salvation of your soul.
Yeah.
Now we're going to sow a body the other day at the cemetery over the Deep Valley Mount Zion or somewhere. But I'll tell you right now, they sowed that body like a seed. You don't sow a soul. No, sir.
Right.
But you sow that body like a seed. I'll tell you one time, one of these days, the Bible tells me, and you notice the terminology that he uses in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole soul and body and spirit be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, you talked about God being a Trinity, you're a Trinity.
Yeah.
God's made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You're made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. And I'll tell you right now, one of these days, all of them, as a complete purchase possession, are going to be delivered. Why?
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead.
Amen.
And I say, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.